Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.HearGod'sWord@Bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other
ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
Amen. And praise the Lord. I want to thank you for being in the household of the Lord once again on this lovely Wednesday day. A little oasis in the middle of our winter. And it was a beautiful, beautiful day. We thank you for joining us here. And we pray that tonight something will be shared that will encourage you in your faith, something that will be shared to lift you up, or something that will be shared that will help you to become a better Christian, a better Christian. Amen? Amen. Bethlehem?
Thank you, no.
Oh, that's pretty good, but I think we can do better. Bethlehem?
Thank you, no.
It's got weaker. But that's our thing for 2012, to make him known. 2011 was to know him. And because we know him, we want to make him known. We want to make him known. And this month, we've been trying to make him known through love, through love. Throughout this whole month, you've been hearing me say that God loves you this much, how much he stretched his arms across that cross to die for you. God loves you. God's love is unconditional, unlimited, and complete. And we describe God as being love. We began this month talking about the principles of love, the principles of love, and then we told you about this thing called marriage, and I said that God wanted every boy and girl and woman to be loved, so he established this institute called marriage. And it's in this institute that man becomes a reflection of God's love, and as he reflects God's love, he reflects it to his wife, and the wife reflects it to the children. And we're going to continue kind of dealing with the marriage in the context of the love that God wants to display. But we want to make him known through love, make him known through love. And when you make him known through love, you can go, you can stand, and you can speak, and people will listen to you, because when we do relationship right, the Bible says, and I taught last Sunday, that the marriage is a mystery, and the mystery is that the man is symbolic of Christ, and the woman is symbolic of the church. So what you do in your marriage becomes a direct evangelism tool to reach people for Christ. We talk about the mystery of marriage. But tonight we're going to talk about marriage rules. Marriage rules. And the whole context, I really need you to read when you leave here tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the whole chapter. But tonight we're going to be focusing on verses 1 through 16, and even that context I need you to read a little later tonight. We're going to read on the slide verses 2 through 9 through 11. Verses 2, 9 through 11, and it's on the slide there. And let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. 1, 2, 3. Amen. You may be. Tonight, we're going to share, we're going to talk about a subject entitled Marriage Rules. As I was thinking about this, it's probably best defined as lifestyle rules. But we're going to give it the title and tag it Marriage Rules, Marriage Rules. And we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to talk about saved sex, we're going to talk about saved singles, and we're going to talk about saved separation. We want Christians to know tonight that they should follow God's rules of marriage and singleness to make Him known. Christians should follow God's rules of marriage and singleness to make Him known. And we're talking about marriage rules, and this text is filled with many rules, and I call it rules because Paul was asked a certain amount of questions, and the church, it was a very controversial church, that Corinthian church was one of the most gifted churches, but it was also was one of the most carnal churches. And there was always controversy within the church, and Paul always had to try to address some of the things that were going on within this church. And that's why you see in verse 1, he starts out this text by saying, "Now for the matters you wrote about." Now for the matters you wrote about. There was evidently some concern about the rampant sexual immorality that was going on within the church. You have to remember that Corinth could best be described as our modern-day city, Vegas. They say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And I can imagine that that's what they were saying about the Corinthian city there. What happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. But there's only one problem with that, is that that's just a lie. Whatever dirt that you do, it's going to come out whether you are in Corinth or Las Vegas. The dirt's going to come out, especially when you're dealing with God, because God knows how to deal with His people. When there's something that's done in the dark and you are a child of God, the best thing you need to do is repent, because if you don't repent, you will be disciplined. And a lot of times those who are exposed develop a lifestyle of rebellion, and they would not repent, and thereby God had to discipline them. But they wrote the Apostle Paul, and they had a lot of questions that had to do with what we would call today lifestyle choices, a lot of questions that had to do with sexual immorality, questions about marriages. There were many marriages that Christians had married unchristians, and some folk were probably being deserted in their marriage as a result of that. So it was a very controversial issues that Paul had to address within 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to look at and deal with some of these answers to the questions that he wrote about. And he says in verse 1, "Now for the matters you wrote about," as he began to deal with these issues, he says, "It is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman." And then he begins to address what I call tonight the same sex. It's good for a man not to have sexual relationship with a woman. But here's the answer to the question. He says, but since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife and each woman with her own husband. And here we establish that sex was made for marriage. I heard it said in a movie, one day in a movie, and the man said that marriage is a cure for promiscuity. And then all the characters began to laugh out loud because we know that marriage is really not a cure for promiscuity. In other words, if you marry a man that cheated on you before you got married, he gonna do it when you get married, because he gonna go from being a dog to being a married dog. Hello, somebody. So I like to tell folk that marriage don't have any kind of municipal purposes at all. If you think that your love can change him, and you think that when you get married, that it's going to change him, that it's going to change her, marriage will not change anybody. As a matter of fact, marriage usually makes it worse. You say, wait a minute, preacher, what do you mean? Marriage makes it worse. Well, what happens during the dating game is that we tend to have a tendency to put our best foot forward. When we're dating, we won't see one another without having a fresh cut. We won't see one another without looking nice and being dressed up, have our shoes shine, have the car shine and the car cleaned out. You're going to take them to the best restaurants because you're trying to woo them. You're trying to woo them then. But after you get married, hello, somebody. Funny story told about this woman that was a great opera singer, and she would get up and she was singing, and she had a beautiful voice, and she sung, however they did. I don't know what they do, but they do something. And boy, this guy fell in love with this opera diva. She had long hair, a beautiful face, a beautiful figure, and he fell in love with her, and he married her. And the story goes on to say that honeymoon night, she took off her wig, hello somebody, took out her teeth, hello somebody, took off her peg leg, hello somebody. And he said what he did was close his eyes and say, sing. But marriage is, there's no municipal purposes for marriage, but what marriage does do is, marriage is number one, as we said before, marriage is from God. God created marriage so that every woman, every child would experience his love. A man's love is symbolic of God's love, agape love, which means a unconditional love. And he wants everyone to experience that. Also, marriage is also a commitment. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, marriage is a commitment. Because as long as if you allow him to live with you, if you allow him to get your goodies, if he don't have to commit, if he can, as the old folk used to say, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? Hello, somebody. The young folks say, why buy the software when you can download it for free? Hello, somebody. But marriage was meant to be a way to get the men to commit to that woman as Christ is committed to his church. Every household should have a committed man in it, which means someone who's committed enough to marry this woman and say, I'm going to be with you for the rest of your life. And like some of them preachers say, and people you hear speak all the time, I love you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. And that's what a man should be in his household, that form of love. And also, marriage is what God has created, the that you may fulfill these sexual desires. It is a form of institute that can keep you from temptation in that area if you want to be kept. Because there's some men, and maybe even some women, they're married, but they don't want to be kept. Oh, somebody, listening at the sound of my voice, you married, but you don't want to be kept. You want to do what you want to do, but that's a lie from the pit of hell. Especially if you're in the church, you have a title in the church, you're in the pulpit in the church. This is a lie from the pit of hell, and God's going to punish you for not being obedient to his word. And he says, as a result, that because of the sexual immorality, it's good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. And by the way, that's going to be the only place you'll read this anywhere. Hello, somebody. Because most modern day men won't ever say that. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But this is what he said. But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife. That's what she's there for. That's what he's there for. Hello, somebody. So marriage rule is number one, is that you should get married. Hello, somebody. That should be your goal. Single women, that should be your goal. Especially the older you get, you don't have time to be wasting on these knuckleheads that won't commit. And you don't have to let them know on the first date, but somewhere within that the date number, you need to let them know, I'm not wasting my time. Are you the kind of man that can't commit? Because if not, I need to be with somebody who's willing to commit. Hello, somebody. But safe sex is in marriage. It's in marriage. And this was Paul gives a little commentary on what we're talking about. He says, do not deprive each other except perhaps for mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourself to prayer. Wow. A literal sexual fast. That's the only time you and your mate. Hello, somebody. I don't need to get all up in your business, but the word does have a way of doing that. That's the only time that you shouldn't be intimate with your husband or with your wife is when you are praying. Hello, somebody. Because he says, if you don't do this, if you don't follow these rules, then this is what will happen. Then some then come together again, so that what? Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of control. Hello, somebody. Don't you know married folk are really weak folk? When you get married, you say, I don't have any control. Hello, somebody. And that's one of the ways you know that you need to be married. You say, I don't have any control. I need to get in a place where I can fulfill the desires that God put in me. And that's why we got to start teaching our baby girls and our baby boys at a young age that they need to grow up and get married. Oh, we live in a culture where marriage is about to be obsolete. Hello, somebody. It's already, the numbers in certain communities say that 70% of our household has a single woman in it, which means 30% of the household have marriages in it. Ooh. Marriage is about to be obsolete, and we can't allow marriage to become obsolete, because really what you're saying is that men are nowhere to be found, and where there are no men, there is no protection for our daughters. Where there's no men, there are no good models for our sons. Where there's no marriage, children are not protected. Where there's no marriage, children are not provided for. Statistics tells us that when a person goes through a divorce, that woman is likely to end up below the poverty line. Hello, somebody. So So marriage is from God. Marriage is meant to protect. You know, I was watching this show and this guy, was in the house, and he didn't like how his little girl was growing up. And because she was growing up too fast. But his mama thought it was all cute. And say, I'll let her do that. That's what teenagers do. But he was saying, oh, no. If you think I'm going to be silent, you got another thing coming. And that's what men do. Men will make sure that little girls don't go out the house looking like a hoochie. Hello, somebody. And don't get mad at your daddy if he don't want you to go out the house looking like a hoochie, because he know how he was at your age. And he knows what little boys got on their minds. And many times, there's one thing that a boy has on his mind, and that's what? Trigonometry. That's one thing he has on his bookwork, what? Hello, somebody. You said, Daddy, you don't know him. Oh, yeah, he know him. He was him. So men, we have to protect our daughters. Men, we have to be models for our boys. And we have to show them what true men do. True men commit. True men will get married. True men will take care of their families. Because without it, literally our whole culture falls into decay. Without it, sexual immorality is running rapid. Oh, I know where I'm from and where some of your children are from. People are dying with a high rate of AIDS. And you ask, are these folk married getting AIDS? Most of them are not married. They're having sex outside of marriage. And they're being punished from God. Hello, somebody. In our culture, man, we have to turn this thing around. Marriage is from God, and when you don't do things God's way, you suffer the consequences. Hello, somebody. And if you want to keep your marriage right, you got to do what this text says. It calls it a marital duty. Hello, somebody. And if I didn't have kids in here, I'd make it plain. But I don't make it plain. I get in trouble sometimes making it too plain. But hello, somebody. It says sex is for married folk. Hello, somebody. And as I go to point number two, I'm reminded of a book I think I told you about. The book was entitled Save Single and Having Sex, and to which I had to say, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because if you are not married, hello, somebody. The Bible, this is what the Bible, these are the rules for you, saved singles. It says, but if they cannot control themselves, hello, somebody, it's a matter of self-control. They should marry. Not that they should have sex outside of marriage, but if they can't control themselves, they should marry. For it's better to marry than to burn with passion. The old King James scared a lot of y'all because it just says it's better to marry than to burn. And people took that text out of context and they thought that if you didn't get married, you was going to hell. No, that's not what the text is saying. But the text is saying that it's better to marry than to burn with passion. Amen. Hello, somebody. It's better to marry. This is what God made marriage for. It's better to match. Marriage is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. I know the culture is doing the opposite, but we are the church, and we're supposed to be counterculture, which means if the world is doing wrong, the one place that you should come and be able to see the opposite of the world is in the church. Grandmama and them used to say, hey, if they jump off the bridge, well, you jump off the bridge too. Some of you were so ignorant, you said, well, it's according to how high it is. Kind of how high it is, I may jump. No. No. This church had to be counterculture to the society that they were in, and their society was way worse even than our society, or exact same as our society. So we talked about Nevada. Oh, Nevada has this place called the Chicken Ranch, where prostitution is legal. Oh, in this culture, they had a place up there called the Temple of Aphrodite, the goddess of love, where, prostitution was legal, and it was a form of worship. And I've said this before, you didn't have no problem with men going to church then. They get up early for Sunday school then. Hello, somebody. But they had to be counterculture, and Paul had to let them know that the culture has gone awry, the time has gone awry. God, then within the backdrop of the culture, within the backdrop of the society, he began to raise a standard, and that standard that is raised is marriage. It will help married folk to be sexually pure, and it will help single folk to be sexually pure when they decide to get married, as opposed to giving themselves away to everybody who's not willing to commit to them. And you've heard me say many times, I'm talking to my spiritual daughters. I'm talking to my spiritual daughters. Don't give yourself away. Don't be cheap. Don't be cheap. A man should have a sacrifice to be with you, and the price of the sacrifice is marriage. And if he has a problem with marriage, then he can't afford you no way. Hello, somebody. So don't give yourself away cheap. Because you'll end up being used up. Hello, somebody. At the very least, messed up. Hello, somebody. Because the more people that you are with in a sexual way, the harder it is going to be for you to commit to one person. Especially if you're a man. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And if you want to do what's right, do the right thing. You can't be talking about you're saved, single, and having sex. That should be a shame. Hello, somebody. And Paul had to address, even in this church where a man was with his daddy's wife. Hello, somebody. And he had to address him, and he was out bold. And it wasn't a shame. He was just out. They were doing it out in the open, and Paul thought, may that never be. What's going on? Hello, somebody. And if you are saved, single, and having sex, you shouldn't be, at the very least, you shouldn't be out in the open boasting about it. It should be something that you're struggling against, trying to get away from. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. He says, but if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. Hello, somebody. And which is the last advice that we give the singles many times. You know, it's counterculture, because most of the advice given to young folk is that you need to go get your college degree first. Establish your career. Hello, somebody. And then some of them say, sow your wild oaks. Hello, somebody. And when I was out there trying to live holy for the Lord and living pure sexually, that's what my co-workers used to meddle with me all the time. They said, you're too young to be so serious. No! Hello, somebody. These were older people. I thought something was wrong with me. You need to sow your wild oaks. Wait till you're older. To which I say, there's only one problem with that statement. If I sow my wild oaks when I'm single, I'm gonna reap it when I get married. Hello, somebody. And I won't be able to be committed to one woman, because I'll be used to being with as many women as I like. Hello, somebody. If you don't believe me, there's a man by the name of David who God at one time in his life described him as a man after his own heart. Hello, somebody. God began to bless him, and he began to compromise in this area so much so he was so used to getting the women that he wanted that when he met one woman that he couldn't have, Bathsheba, he had her husband killed just to be with her because he hadn't developed any kind of discipline within his life. God didn't tell the kings to go in and get harems. As a matter of fact, he warned him not to be like the people in the country. And if you look in the life and the nation of the people of Israel, one of the ways that the kings are fearless, it had to do with women. Hello, somebody. And they got taken away and wooed away because of women. If you don't believe me, ask the strong man, the strongest man ever to live, Samson. Samson, can you sow your wild oaks when you're young? He'll say, oh no, Reverend, I couldn't sow my wild oaks when I was young. I met a woman by the name of Delilah. Got a chick now, thinking about her. I fell in love with her. Hello, somebody. Oh, and she. Oh, I don't even want. Let me hold her. He said, I lost it all. Sowing my wild oats. I lost it all. Oh, no. Being single is not a time of sowing your wild oats. Being single is a time for you to be holy. Hello, somebody. Holy until you get married. As a matter of fact, Paul says this, and some of you may have heard this term, the gift of singleness, and this is where we get this from. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, he says, I wish that all men were as I am. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift and another has that gift. And then he goes into verse 9. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. For it's better to marry than to burn with passion. Paul was saying that I can control myself sexually. Hello, somebody. I don't have the passion. Hello, somebody. And I wish everybody could be like me. I wish everybody could be single-mindedly devoted to the Lord. That's the greatest tool that you can have, is when you can be single-mindedly devoted to the Lord. And this is how this man got to travel. This is how this man got to write. This is how this man got to be used of God in a great and in a more awesome ways, because he was a single man, but he had the gift of singleness, which means he didn't have that passion. Hello, somebody. As a matter of fact, he goes on a little later in chapter 7 and he talks about the married person. He says the married person's attention is divided. It's divided because, he wants to serve the Lord, but yet he has a wife. She wants to serve the Lord, but yet, she has a husband. Which means that they can't be at that church every night of the week. Hello, somebody. It was a little prank, and they did a prank on the preacher, and they called the preacher, and they said they act like they were mad at the preacher, trying to get the preacher to arise, and he got on the phone and he said, hello, preacher, I'm tired of my wife being up at church every day of the week. I don't want my wife to be up there. Eventually he got a rise at the preacher. I don't want to tell you what the preacher said, but anyway. No. If you're married, you can't be up here every night of the week. Hello, somebody. If you're married, you got a wife. I'm married and I try to be home. I can't be up here all night long. I try to be home by 8 because I'm a married man. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But a single person, you can serve the Lord, and it is a gift. It is a gift if you're not burning. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. He said, I wish that all men were as I am, but each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift and another that gift. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. Hello, somebody. You ain't going to hear that anywhere else. And many times, not even at the church. How many times have you really heard this preached? Even by me. Hello, somebody. But it's in the book. It's in the book. Marriage is a good thing. And we're making a case for marriage this month, because this is the month of love. And again, marriage, as that song says, love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. Hello, somebody. You can't have one without the other, the song says. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. He's saying he love you. As Beyonce say, if you like it, you gotta put a ring on it. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Many of our children are growing up wondering why mom and dad is not married. I've heard that said many times, even within our own church, about how the children are rising up and wondering why mom and dad is not married. It's like even God has put some kind of something on the inside of them that knows the difference. Hello, somebody. And they want to have a committed man in the household. Hello, somebody. A man that has no other options. See, as long as you're not married, you can keep your options open. And I say that. I say singleness, it should be at times a ruthless thing. You say, why you say that, preacher? Well, if there's a good woman and she's wasting her time with a no good man. Hello, somebody. And you're a good man looking for a good woman. And you see that she ain't got no ring on her finger? You might need to say a prayer and go ahead and pull God your way. And get your blessing. Hello, somebody. Hey, you say, preacher, now is that biblical advice? Well, when God said that you could have, or told the children of Israel that they could have the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, cities that were fortified walls in those cities, guess what? There were some people in those cities. Ooh, that's deep, isn't it? So they would have to go in and conquer and take it. Hello, somebody. In Jesus' name. Oh, some single brothers, listen, you know she's a good woman. She loves the Lord. She's spending her time with a knucklehead, been with him for 4 or 5 years. Oh, but you need yourself a good, holy, sanctified woman. Oh, you better pray yourself a prayer and begin to pursue. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. You think the devil just wants you to be blessed? And parenthetically, this is one of the greatest blessings that you can have on planet Earth. And I've said this, and I've written about it in my books, that the greatest decision after Christ that you will make will be that for a mate. Because, especially with church people, we in love, many times we seem to be like the sheep to the slaughter.
That's right.
And I'm not talking about your business. I'm talking about my own business. The worst thing I did as a young Christian, the worst thing I did was fell in love. And it destroyed my life. And that's why when I preach on this subject, I preach so passionately, because I know there are other folk out there like me who love the Lord, who serve in the Lord, but they didn't grow up with the proper model of what a Christian relationship should be. They grew up in an environment where there was no love, in an environment where there was the only thing worse than not having a good model of marriage or no model of marriage is having a bad model of marriage. Because you go out and you reproduce where you come from. And I come like you from some crazy places, and I've seen some crazy things, but I was under a generational curse, and I went out and I reproduced where I came from. Hello, somebody. But God had to enable me to break that cycle of generational curses. But the devil used love. Hello, somebody. The devil used love. Hello, somebody. That's why you have to know what true love is. You have to know that love is patient, love is kind, love is not rude. If you grow up seeing mama and daddy arguing, fighting, fussing all the time, that's not true love. And don't you go out and think that you're going to find somebody like them. Hello, somebody. Because you'll reproduce that messiness and that drama that can hold you back a whole lifetime. Hello, somebody. That's why you need to apply these principles. And one of the ways that people can take control and manipulate you is through sex. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. They can get you to do anything they want you to do as long as you have a sex with them.
Woo.
But you take away their power, their satanic power. That's what it is. Satanic power. He uses it to manipulate you, get you to compromise. But you take that away and see how long that person will be there. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. I'm trying to help somebody tonight. Oh, in the house and outside the house. Oh, the Bible says, that single folk with passion should marry. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. At least I keep us too long. I'll talk about saved and separated. And these are some hard principles for people to deal with, but these are marriage rules. Marriage rules. Verse 10 says, "And to the married I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from her husband. But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and a husband must not divorce his wife." Now here, this is the text that I use for women when they're in abusive relationships, and you'll hear me talk about some, you know, abusive relationship. I don't think that God wants anybody, man or woman, to be in an abusive relationship. You're thinking that you've been faithful to God by being in an abusive relationship. When I say abusive relationship, I'm talking about physical beatings. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like Rihanna, when your face looked like Rihanna. Hello, somebody. Folks are saying that Rihanna has forgiven Chris Brown. And my thing is, now she can forgive him, but she should never be in a relationship with him. Hello, somebody. Because he's unshowed what's down on the inside of him. Hello. And he beat her that bad, knowing who she was. She wasn't just any woman. And he did that. Now, God is not telling any woman to stay in an abusive, even man to that effect. And that's why he gives this little option. He says, he wants, God hates divorce. You know that. But he says that to the man I give this command, but not I, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from her husband. Now, you know, unless it's something like that, physical, being physically abused. So he gives this option. But if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. So she has an option to leave. Particularly, I interpret this in the context of an abusive marriage, and again, I'm talking about physical abuse. I'm not talking about even some of the words that we say to one another, but I'm talking about when stuff gets physical. But anyway, so she does have an option to leave in a situation such as that. But you'll see in the text that there's nowhere in the word where it says, but it says, and the husband must what? Not divorce his wife. That means it's forever. Now, she can leave, but he can't go nowhere. Hello, somebody. He's a symbol of God's love. He's a symbol of God's love. God loves you. And I mentioned this Sunday about Tyler Perry preaching my sermon about what can separate you from the love of God. Can't nothing separate you from the love of God. And that's what the man is in the marriage relationship. He's a symbolic of God's love. And he's supposed to be able to love you through and in it and through it and through it all. Sadly, we have it reversed sometimes because we have women being that committed to a man regardless of what he does. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But there are times where some saved folks' marriages, there was separation will take place.
You're right.
Hello, somebody. Separation is separation. Verse 12 says, and this is very interesting, at least interesting to me. It says, to the rest I say this, I, not the Lord. He says, if any brother has a wife who is what? Not a believer. And she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her.
Amen.
So even a marriage that's unequally yoked. And that's why a lot of Christian folk, oh, she don't love my God. She won't go to church. She don't love me. She don't. God understands. I want to give me a Christian wife. Well, you should have found that before. Hello, somebody. For the Bible does say to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But you are in love. You in love. He didn't go to church before he met you, but then he started coming to church. Hello, somebody. Had never been committed to anything, but you thought he was going to be committed. Hello, somebody. And God tried to show you. He gave you the signs. He told you. God won't allow you to get into anything ignorantly. You just decided to not obey the signs. Or wasn't able to recognize the signs. So, says if an unbeliever, if you're married to her, you got to stay married. You cannot divorce her.
That's right, man.
Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, you shouldn't go nowhere. Verse 13 says, and if the woman has a husband who is not a believer and he's willing to live with her, what? She must not divorce him.
Man.
That's praying. You know, an unequal yoke. He reads the Quran and you read the Bible. You're unequally yoked and you're reading your Bible and they're not reading anything. Hello, somebody. And you think, well, I know the Lord understands. He wants me to be with somebody that loves him as much as I do. Now, marriage is a commitment for a lifetime regardless, except extreme situations. Hello, somebody. Isn't that what the book says? And it says this in verse 14, for the unbelieving husband will be what? Sanctified to his wife, and the unbelieving wife will be what? Sanctified to her believing husband. Otherwise, your children will be what? Unclean. But as it is, they are holy. You got to stay together to sanctify your children. You got to stay together that the blessing could flow to your children. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Then verse 15 says, but if the unbeliever leaves, guess what? Let it be so. Wait a minute, what does that mean? If the unbeliever leaves, does that mean that I have to be committed? I have to be committed to them when they leave? We're talking about an unbeliever. But if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. The brother or sister is not bound in such circumstances, for God has called us to live in peace. It says that if the unbeliever, we call this desertion, you know, there are only really three reasons for divorce. And this last one could be controversial, but it reads pretty simple to me. The first reason really is not a reason for divorce. It's just death. Hello, somebody. And I told her, I've given Sister Eton permission that if I go on to be with the Lord, she can find her another Denzel-looking brother. And go on with her life. You ain't got to put up any monuments for me. Go on with your life. Because that's what marriage is, until death do us part. Hello, somebody. And really, unless we go at the same time, death will do us part. That's why you hear me say that there's nobody can really say that they're going to love you forever but God.
Amen.
Because one day you will be separated. And you have to prepare for that. Prepare your family for that. Talk about that so that when it happens, it won't be such a shock. Prepare them. Do as much as you can. Oh, beforehand, talk about it. You know, and that's why death becomes so shocking to us, is because we never thought about it. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. And for the Christian, that's not a bad thing. For the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a what? Saint. Hello, somebody. So that's the number one way, and which should be the best way. You know, sad to say it that way, but the second one is what? Adultery. Hello, somebody. And some of you better take this very seriously, because It's a sad thing to see a Christian woman who decided to forgive that man that was a dog and she caught AIDS.
Come on, Doc. You're right.
God had given her a way out. She found it. But yet, somehow, she thinks that she's being faithful to God, because, oh, God hates divorce. You know God hates divorce. You know what? I hate vegetables.
Come on.
Guess what? I have to eat it every day. God can forgive divorce. That's not an impardonable sin. The only impardonable sin is what? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which simply means not accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the only thing you can't be forgiven for. Hello, somebody. So, adultery. And somebody listening, this could save your life, because, again, God don't want you to be ignorant. You know he's cheating. You know he's running around. And I'm telling you that AIDS is going around. And you say, preacher, I don't hear about it much, but you hear about cancer all the time. You know why you hear about cancer all the time? It's because of the stigma of AIDS. No one says that they die of AIDS. They always replace it with cancer. They say, boy, cancer's really running rampant. Many times it's the AIDS epidemic that's running around, especially in certain of our communities. Hello, somebody. So you can't be like some of them grandmama and them, that they didn't have this. You know, you heard about grandmama and them, she knew he was running around. Woo, but she forgave him. We're living in a different time, a different era. You can lose your life.
That's right.
Hello, somebody. Because you don't want to. Hello, somebody. But adultery is a reason for divorce. Okay? And that's not controversy. Everybody agrees on that. But this one here, many people don't agree on. But it seems to read like it says, and it's in the instance of not two Christians. Get that? Hello, somebody. Because they said the Christian divorce at one time was higher than that of the world. No, 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 no. You got your marching orders. Till death do you part, Christian man, Christian woman. God meant for marriage to be permanent.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh, neighbor, permanent. That's why if you're single, you better think about it. You just don't jump in. You just don't fall into love. I would say anything I fell into, it wasn't good. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But in this instance, it's a believer and it's an unbeliever. Okay? Otherwise, up in the other text, it said the woman had the right to leave, but she couldn't get divorced. She had to stay single or unmarried, or else be reconciled with her husband. In this case, Oh, with an unbeliever, but if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. Hello, somebody. And that's the unbeliever. You've been set free. Let it be so. The brother and sister is not bound in such circumstance. God has called us to live in peace. And then this is kind of what I alluded to maybe 2 weeks ago. And this is what the Bible says about being with an unbeliever. Who or how do you not know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you not know, husband, whether you will save your wife? And I've seen it happen in some cases. Well, that woman, and I'm going to talk about this on Sunday, because the only way that person will get saved is if you are a true believer. And I mean true believer, I'm talking about mature believer. Because they can be won by your character, by your behavior. And if you're applying true love that we talked about in the newsletter, if you're being patient, if you're being kind, if you're not being rude, if you're applying those principles, it could be an evangelistic tool. Hello, somebody. Your love for God and the love that God puts through you to allow you to love that other person could win them to Christ. But if you are a hypocrite, they ain't gonna ever come to Christ. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. If you up at the church all the time but never applying it at the house, hello, somebody. You come to church and you come home and beat that person over the head with the Bible, that don't work. That's not a good, effective evangelism, too. If you're calling him the devil all the time, you devil! That's not a good evangelistic, too. He not the devil. She not the devil. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But if you treat him right, if you're a woman and you respect that man, you could win him to Christ. Don't nag him. Just pray for him. Don't argue with him. Just pray. Both, but just pray for him. Don't get into the drama. God can show up and he can show out. Or at the very least, your kids can be sanctified. Remember we talked about the kids being sanctified? Verse 14, for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your kids won't be clean, but as it is, they are holy. That's what happened to me. My mother was married to an unbeliever. She was married to an unbeliever, but she was a true Christian. And she took this Bible home. And she lived it. She prayed at home. She sung at home. This was a true Christian thing. But man, he was the devil. If you know anything about me back then, that's one person I hated. I call him my stepmaster. I hated my stepmaster, my stepdad. Because he was, to me, he was, man, I had so much anger built up towards him. But to make a long story short, I saw the way she lived in that thing, in the circumstances. And I saw how God moved. Everything he said we couldn't do, we got to do. Because when he said we couldn't do it, she would say, okay, and pray. Hello, somebody. I got to see how God worked, how God moved. And through seeing that, I wanted that real thing that God was doing. As a result of that, though, I've come from some crazy places and I've had some very emotionally scarred experiences within that marriage. Guess what? I stand here today as a preacher man. A preacher man. That's what the Bible's talking about. You sanctify your kids. Pray preaching the word and teaching folk how not to get in that kind of mess. Now, the devil really hates that. Because some say the biggest tool that he used things like envy and jealousy that the devil used. The biggest tool that he used is gossiping. And I said, no. The biggest tool that he used is love. Because everybody wants love. Everybody wants love. Hello, somebody. Everybody wants love. But nobody in the church is telling Christian folk how they should have love, what they should do to get love. First of all, you need to depend upon God.
Amen.
Depend upon God. God can give you what you want. God can give you what you desire. My testimony, I'm not just preaching this thing. I'm living this thing. Oh, and let me give this testimony for the single folk who think they ain't going to ever find nobody. Ain't no good man here in Paul's Valley. There don't have to be a good man here in Paul's Valley. Don't have to be a good woman here in Paul's Valley, because when God sets it up, he can bring him from somewhere, he can bring her from somewhere else, just like he did for me. Oh, that's my testimony. You get tired of me here saying that testimony, but God sent me, Sister Eton. Hello, somebody. Literally sent me her. He can do it for you, but you've got to apply this word to your life. You've got to stop selling yourself cheap. Stop giving yourself away sexually. Stop giving yourself away even emotionally.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. God can do it. Somebody, listen, the sound of my voice, and you're in a difficult marriage, and you think that it can't work. Yeah, it can work.
Amen.
You've got to be committed for it to work.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. Maybe when you both realize that neither one of you are going anywhere, you'll be willing to work on it. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
And God can work it. He can do it. He created the universe. And everything in it. He can do the impossible. You're a preacher. You don't know my marriage is impossible. Oh, I do not know your marriage, but I do know your God. And he can do it. He can do it. He can help you live holy. He can help you get married. He can help you be married. Somebody listen to the sound of my voice. You may be separated legally. He can help you through that. Hello, somebody. You may have to go through a divorce, but he can help you through that. You have a legal reason to be divorced. You know the marriage rules. And he can help you through that. Whatever circumstance, whatever relational issue that you're facing, God can help you. That which you have or that which you don't have, God can help you. Don't you know he made you? He put those desires in your heart and even that passion in your body. Hello, somebody. Because that passion is meant for you to get with somebody, marry them, and have children. Hello, and have a family. God put that there. He wants you to use it the way that he created it to be used. Hello, somebody. It's a God thing. If you apply his rules and do it his way, you can be blessed. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we praise your holy name as we've learned tonight about your marriage rules, Father. And we pray, Lord, that you speak to your people, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will give them, Father, what they need
Hello
to make
again.
It through such
Michael
a time
Reason.
As this, Father.
There may be
somebody here
program.
That's in a difficult
Before
marriage, Father. I pray,
off.
Lord, in Jesus' name, that you'll
sure,
allow that man
that
to apply the principles of love and to love
you know,
her
many
as
people
Christ,
are
love the
have
church,
a
in Jesus' name,
and
allow her to name
her,
to respect her husband in Jesus' name.
And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing
that
will make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing. For now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Falls Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listen throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby. Thank you for and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior Lord. Pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did. And he raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you. So so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com. Bethlehem.